Let's turn this morning to the 78th Psalm, to Psalm 78. And that's where we'll take the vast majority of our lesson from today. It's this very poetic telling of the history of the children of Israel. And we're just going to look at this psalm today, and then we will have one other reading that we'll have upon completing the psalm. Psalm 78, let's begin by reading verses 1 through 8. Where it is written, "Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. For He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may rise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart, and whose spirit was not faithful to God." So we see here the beginning of the instruction of this psalm. Things that we heard and known, things that our fathers have told us. We are not to conceal these stories from children, but to tell them to a generation to come, even the children that are yet to be born. And the purpose, of course, is in verse 7, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And, of course, verse 8 then previews things to come in the upcoming part of the psalm, which is that the children of Israel turned away, and the children of Israel did not remember God, remember the things that God had graciously done to them, and they did not keep His commandments. Let's continue on in verse 9. "The sons of Ephraim were archers equipped with bows, yet they turned back in the day of battle, and they did not keep the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. They forgot His deeds and His miracles that He had shown them." So we see here that some of the children of Israel turn away, and they forgot things. Let's look at verses 12 through 16. "He wrought wonders before their fathers in the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. And He made the water stand up like a heap. And then He led them with the cloud by day and all the night with the light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them abundant drink like the ocean depths. He brought forth streams also from the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers." Here's God taking care of the children of Israel as He leads them out of Egyptian captivity and bondage. Of course, dividing the Red Sea so that the waters stood up like great walls on either side of them. The children of Israel passed through on dry ground. Of course, we know that the waters fell and consumed the armies of Egypt. But then also leading them with the cloud by day and the light of fire by night through the wilderness. When they ran out of water, what did God do? But He had Moses retrieve water from the rock. He gave them abundant drink, it says, like the ocean depths. And He brought forth streams also from the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. When the children of Israel needed something, God provided it for them in the wilderness. Great miracles, things that do not naturally occur. Things that we think if we would have seen those things, if we would have seen but one of those things, that we would never forget the power and the majesty of God. But it didn't take long for the children of Israel to forget them. Let's look at verses 17 through 20. "Yet they still continued to sin against Him, to rebel against the Most High in the desert. And in their heart they put God to the test by asking food according to their desire. Then they spoke against God, and they said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that waters gushed out and streams were overflowing. Can he give bread also? Will he provide meat for his people?" So we see here that when the people were thirsty, God gave them drink. Now the people are hungry, and they're complaining against God and asking, "Well, surely he can't feed us out here. There's nothing, no food out here. Can he give us bread? Can he give us meat?" We read down now through verse 33, beginning in chapter, or in verse 21. "Therefore the Lord heard and was full of wrath." So God heard what they were complaining about, and he heard that they were doubting his ability to provide for them in the desert, and he became angry. "And a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also mounted against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Yet he commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna upon them to eat and gave them food from heaven. Man did eat the bread of angels, and he sent them food in abundance. He caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he directed the south wind. And when he rained meat upon them like the dust, even winged fowl like the sand of the seas. And then he let them fall in the midst of their camp round about their dwellings. So they ate and were well filled. And their desire he gave to them. Before they had satisfied their desire, while their food was in their mouths, the anger of God rose against them and killed some of their stoutest ones and subdued the choice men of Israel. In spite of all of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wonderful works. So he brought their days to an end in futility, and their years in sudden terror." Something that we read here is that God sent manna. When the people doubted his ability to feed them in the desert, God sent manna and quail, as he had previously given them water from the rock. Verse 25 tells us that man did eat the bread of angels. God provided that to just fall from the skies. But we note that God did not give water or send manna or quail as a reward to the people, but because they grumbled against him and doubted him. He wasn't rewarding them for their faithfulness as they traveled through the desert, but instead he was attempting to show them how powerful and great he was, and how much he could provide for them if they would but believe. But of course, they didn't do that. And God punishes them, even while it says the food was still in their mouth. Continuing on in verse 34, "When he killed them, then they sought him and returned and searched diligently for God. And they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer." So we see a cycle that Israel falls into, where they will follow God for a while and then they will fall away. And he will punish them and let them be taken over by other people around about them. And then they will remember God and he will deliver them. And it just seems to be a cycle that continues on through the majority of the Old Testament. God punished the people and they returned, but only for a time. Let's pick up in verse 36. "But they deceived him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast toward him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being compassionate, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. And often he restrained his anger and did not arouse all his wrath. Thus he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and does not return. How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Again and again they tempted God and pained the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the adversary, when he performed his signs in Egypt and his marvels in the field of Zoan, and turned their rivers to blood and their streams they could not drink. He sent among them swarms of flies which devoured them and frogs which destroyed them, and he gave also their crops to the grasshopper and the product of their labor to the locusts. He destroyed their vines with hailstones and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave over their cattle also to the hailstones and their herds to bolts of lightning. He sent upon them his burning anger, fury and indignation and trouble, a band of destroying angels. He leveled a path for his anger. He did not spare their soul from death, but gave over their life to the plague and smote all the firstborn of Egypt, the first issue of their virility in the tents of Ham. But he led forth his own people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock, and he led them to safety so that they did not fear, but the sea engulfed their enemies. So in this section here, we're reminded of all the powers and all the wonders of the things that God did to the Egyptians so that the children of Israel could be released. All of the various different things. Of course, it says in verse 49, he sent upon them his burning anger, fury and indignation and trouble. A band of destroying angels was unleashed upon the Egyptians and the opponents of the Israelites. And he led forth his own people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them safely so that they did not fear. While in the past, of course, when the children of Israel walked across on dry land through the Red Seas, parted water, the sea engulfed their enemies. Although the people continually strayed, God had mercy. We see in verse 39, thus he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and does not return. Man was imperfect, and God restrained, it says. He restrained some of his wrath and had mercy upon man. Let's continue on in verse 54. So he brought them to his holy land and to his hill country, which his right-handed gained. And he also drove out the nations before them and apportioned them for an inheritance by measurement and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and rebelled against the Most High God and did not keep his testimonies, but turned back and acted treacherously like their fathers. They turned aside like a treacherous bow, for they provoked him with their high places and aroused his jealousy with their graven images. And when God heard, he was filled with wrath and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he abandoned the dwelling place at Shiloh, the tent in which he had pitched among men, and gave up his strength to captivity and his glory into the hand of the adversary. And he also delivered his people to the sword and was filled with wrath at his inheritance. Fire devoured his young men, and his virgins had no wedding songs. His priests fell by the sword, and his windows and his widows could not weep. God gave the people the promised land. But when they continually strayed and strayed away from him, he gave them up to their enemies when they disobeyed. But we see at the end of this psalm that God would eventually return to the people. Then the Lord awoke as if from sleep. Like a warrior overcome by wine, he drove his adversaries backward. He put on them an everlasting reproach. He also rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth, which he has founded forever. And he also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from the care of the ewes with suckling lambs he brought him, to shepherd Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them with his skillful hands. God returned to the people with David, one from the tribe of Judah, a shepherd of flocks, not a mighty warrior at first. But God returned to the people with David in his reign, of the tribe of Judah. So we see that Psalm 78 is not just a story of the children of Israel, but a story really of all mankind, and even a story of each of us as individuals. David himself, we know, strayed from the Lord several times, but he returned, and God forgave him. And David is described as a man after God's own heart. This is the story of all men, in a way. All men are returned to God through David. Like all men, we are returned to God through David and the tribe of Judah. As from that tribe and from that lineage came, of course, Jesus the Christ. Let's turn to Hebrews now. And we'll end with the reading in Hebrews. A lengthy reading, but it fits with what we have been reading about here very well. We'll begin in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they do not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, that there be not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked Him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering His rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as He has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although His works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, He again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered His rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from His. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. We see here that the people continually strayed away. God gave them the promised land, but they strayed away. Then, of course, He sent them David. And, of course, through David and through the tribe of Judah, He says, sent us Christ. The real rest, the true rest that we have offered to us, that even though we fall away from time to time, we can be returned through mercy. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, for both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in a time of need. If there's anything that we can do for anyone this morning to help them find that peace and find that help and mercy that is